Okay, good morning, everybody. Yeshkoah for coming. I heard last night 12-1 Seder was amazing. I heard there was 35 guys here. I guess we're going to have to make some more deli roll for next week, Pli Neder. This morning, as oftentimes happens, I didn't have anything to say. So, there's a few options. I can certainly grab some Svarim. There's too much. I don't have Torah anytime on my phone right now, so Torah anytime actually is a bigger file than the Y Torah app. But I like to listen to Torah anytime. I like to listen to Rabbi Noach. It's all about me. Usually has great Mar Makomos. So I knew that if I wanted to download an app to get some sort of a shmooze, the most likely one would be Y Torah. So I figured that why don't I just listen to what I said last year? And sure enough, I mean, some weeks are more memorable than others. And last year, Parashas Vayigash, it started out exactly the same. That I had very limited time. I grabbed two Svarim from the shelf, which I often did, the Matoka Ora and the Leif Shalom. And I even, on last year's Shmuz, I said, Sashkacha Pratis, that I took these two Svarim. And then on the way here last year, I heard a Maisa on a Shir, and I tied it in. And the truth is, that after hearing the Maisa, I've seen it a number of times in print. And here's the idea. Here's the shmooz that I said last year, and that I think is so appropriate to say over again. And that is as follows. Many of you, if you haven't heard any sichus musar, a shmooz on Parshas Vayigash, everybody speaks about the epic encounter between Yosef and his brothers, and he reveals himself. He says, Ani Yosef ha'or avichai. And the Medrash tells us, Abba Koin Bardala Omar, Olonim Yom Hadin, Olonim Yom Tochacha, woe is to us on the day of judgment, woe is to us on the day of rebuke. And the Medrash continues and says, Yosef was the youngest of the Shvatim, excluding Binyamin. They couldn't stand up to his rebuke. The Kodesh Baruch Hu comes and rebukes each and every one of us. Alachas Kama Kama, all the more so. So, everybody, I'm sure, is familiar with the Beis Halevi. There are many other perusim with Beis Halevi. Says that the message was, hold on a second. The brothers are telling Yosef they're so concerned about the well-being, the mental welfare of their father, because if Binyamin is taken away from him, and he ever sees Binyamin again, he won't be able to function. He'll possibly die from it, right? Yosef says, I'm Yosef. My father's still alive. When you got rid of me, you didn't care about that, and that's the biggest rebuke. Basically, is that basically whatever we have all the excuses in the book. We say, "Oh, we care about our father. Do you care about it the last time?" And all the Bali Musar say, "The person's going to go up after 120 and say, listen, Hashem, I didn't have money to give to Tzedakah." And Hashem's going to say, "What do you mean? You had money to spend on that luxury. I didn't have time to learn Torah. You had time to do X, Y, and Z." So that's the Beis Halevi. That's the general message of. And that is what Abba Koin Bardala is teaching us from the encounter and the revelation between Yosef and his brothers. But Rav Shlomo Shrodron points out something even more fundamental than the actual message. And that is as follows. Rav Shlomo Shrodron explains, he describes the following, he narrates the what's going on between Yosef and the brothers. Let's imagine you're a fly on the wall, but better yet, you're not a fly on the wall. Your mom is, for some reason, your mom is right there. And you see the viceroy of Egypt, Yosef HaTzadik. All of a sudden, he's with these 10 guys. Now it's 11. And having this back and forth, and it's very intense. And the Medrash discusses how intense this battle was. It was a battle between Yehuda and Yosef. And all of a sudden, boom, he reveals himself to Yosef. So what would most people do? Wow, that was wild. The person goes, sees a wild motion picture. I don't even want to say the M word, but that's not an M word. But I'm just saying, a motion picture. And then, wow. But then you go home, and you eat your dinner, and you eat your lunch, and you don't go on your merry way, and you don't do anything. Says of Shlomo Shrodron, one of the most amazing things about this medrash is that Abba Koin Bardala read the story, and he didn't just go back and enjoy his lunch or his dinner and go on his merry way. He took out a massive lesson from the story between Yosef and his brothers. A massive lesson that thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of people over the generations have learned this medrash. Why? Because Abba Koin Bardala saw the most amazing, climax of a plot of a story and took out a huge lesson from it. Says in Shlomo Shadron, on top of the message itself, that a person should say, that, right, a person shouldn't live life saying, oh, I have an excuse, I have an excuse, I have an excuse, and then get caught on the excuse, because that's going to be bad news after 120. But the first message to understand is that when you go through life and you see whether it's big things in this situation or small things, there's always what to be learned. As the Mishnah of it says, Ezehol HaChacham, who's wise, halom and call Adam. You learn from everybody. It doesn't mean that when they're saying, you know, E equals MC squared, whatever, you know, whatever. It doesn't mean at all. I learn from every person. If he has a good thing to say, then I learn from him. No, that's not what it means. It means you have to learn from all aspects of life. And he brings down two stories. One story was that he was on the boat from Eretz Yisrael to America, and there was a, you know, they were getting off the boat, and they're on the line to do the visas, and there's a young man who's like pacing back and forth, and all of a sudden he looks outside by the docks, and he sees a woman, and he screams Ima, and she screams Moshi, and sure enough everybody's like dumbfounded. They're watching this epic meeting, this reunion between a mother and a son. They hadn't seen each other since before the Shoah, and it was many decades later, and everyone's like dumbfounded. So Shlomo Shadron, you know what? These two people who are in the story, of course they're going to remember the reunion. But most other people on the boat who were totally mesmerized and in awe of the reunion, they're going to go on their merry way, and that'll be it. The point is that a person is living the story. It's a different memory, and it has a different hashpah on the person. And then Rosh Hashanah says the following. He says that he used to travel out to America. He used to stay actually at Pesach Kron's house. That's how his books, you know, story started. And he said that one day, one Sunday, that I'm not sure if it was the Kron's or whatever family he was with at that point. They went to the car show, the Javits Center, you know, annual car show. And they invited Rosh Hashanah to join them. And he said, no, it's okay. I don't need to go. But you know what? Come back with an observation, and when you bring me that observation, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to learn something up from it. Because again, when you think about it, and the title of this shmooze from last year is probably going to be the title again, is why do rabbis always have stories? And this is the nekuda. Why do Abba Kohen Bardla, what's the pshat? How could he learn out a huge lesson from this most epic encounter between Yosef and his brother? The pshat is, you're looking for it. You're looking to grow. You're looking to experiences and take something out of it. So he went to the car show. And they came back and they made the following observation. They said most people were walking around looking at each car. It's very nice, very nice, very nice. But there was one group of guys. There was one group of people that stopped at a car and they spent the entire day for hours writing stuff down and analyzing the car. That was a very peculiar thing that these people observed that day. So Shomesh just says, this is amazing. People come into life and they just go around, they experience this, they experience that, and they meet this person, that person. It's all very nice. But they're not trying to do anything. They're not trying to change. But the people who actually want to improve themselves, what do? They analyze everything they encounter and try to learn from it and grow. And that's exactly what those people were doing. Those people weren't just casual people who enjoy cars. They were automakers themselves. And they were studying that car on display. Why? Because they have a similar car. They also manufacture cars, and they want to improve their car. What an unbelievable Mussar Haskel. It's so perfect to life. A person can go through life and say, very nice, very nice. Okay, yeah, he's nice. He's not nice to me. He did that. And learns nothing from it. But somebody who's looking to improve, just like the people who wanted to improve their car, somebody's looking to always improve, so he sees a Maisa. Like Abba Kohen Bardla saw the story between Yosef and the brothers. He said, wow, what a tremendous Mussar Haskel. What a tremendous lesson for my life. You know what? Says Abba Kohen Bardla to himself, you think the brothers felt like fools? Yosef just, you know, he really gave him a major rebuke. You're telling me you worried about your father. Hold on a second. You weren't worried then. So says Abba Kohen Bardla to himself, hold on a second. I'm going to go to Hashem. And I'm going to say, God, I had no time. I'm sure he maximized his time, but he was trying to, whether it's to himself or to everybody, what's going to be? I didn't have the money to do it. I didn't have the time. X, Y, and Z. What do you mean? You're not going to have. You're going to have to face the music ultimately before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I think it's such an important lesson. A person has to go through life and learn from his experiences, and that's the pshat. Why do rabbis have stories? Because they're looking for it. They're looking for how could I learn from this experience. Or you can be the guys who walk to the Javits Center and see 200 cars and say, very nice, Very nice. Or you could be one, no, I'm looking to improve my car. I'm looking to improve myself. And therefore, I'm going to study and analyze those things. So just to bring it home, the truth of the matter is that, you know, I said, and it's often quoted, rabbis always have plane stories. Now, I was on two planes this past week. I was on a plane for about, let's make the cheshbon, about 22 hours or so within a 40-hour period. Pretty fast. So I said, oh, I'm sure I'm going to have a plane story. And the truth of the matter is, on the way there, I don't really think I had a plane story. I really don't. On the way back, it was very interesting. I think this is a plane story. Two parts of the story. Part number one is that I got on the plane, and I'm putting my luggage on top, and this woman's like, oh, look at my husband light candles in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And I'm like, wow, that's beautiful. Like, okay. And then the truth is, the rest of the time we didn't talk at all, and she actually wasn't feeling well on the flight. And at the end, I was like, oh, making small talk, because it happens to be Albuquerque, New Mexico. Oh, because in the beginning, I said, oh, it must have been Rabbi Wittenstein, because Rabbi Wittenstein's brother, Rabbi Ron Wittenstein, became the rabbi actually in Santa Fe, New Mexico. So she's like, she was like, ah, I don't know. And then at the end of the plane ride, she said, yeah, the shul shut down in Albuquerque, and they sent this stuff from the shul to Santa Fe, and yes, Rabbi Wittenstein, but I only met him once, etc. And then she's like, oh, by the way, you know, I grew up in the Beis Yaakov of Queens. Like, I'm like, oh, okay. So, like, I think there is a certain element, like, I was like, wow, her husband's so from, he's lighting candles in Albuquerque, New Mexico, that's so beautiful, but she was a Beis Yaakov girl. Like, everything's, like, how do you measure that? You know, on the one hand, I was so impressed, but at the other hand, like, look where she came from. Okay, I'm not sure if there's what to be learned from that. I think that, you know, who am I to judge? We know that the Egaris and Ramban says if somebody's a chayte, and you think you're better than them, don't think that, because they're shogeg and you raise it. So she's shogeg. Okay, that was number one. The other thing is that there's a guy, this is actually quite interesting, this is ironic, but I was sitting, there was an empty seat next to me, I was in the aisle, and there was like a 10-year-old kid by the window. Now, because it was dark outside, the windows were open, no big deal. But because I thought I was in Israel, my clock, you know, I didn't sleep that much, and I wanted to daven, and I know, everybody knows every daven vasikin, so there's mishiyakir, which means you can differentiate between, you know, green and blue, and so on, and you can put on your tzitzis. Because once you see get light, that's already nates. You could have already, you know, it starts for necessary already. But you can really start davening 45 minutes beforehand. So I was looking outside because I knew it was going to go fast and it was dark. And this guy behind me, Mama, the guy in the middle of the seat behind me, and he's the father of this kid, says to me, what are you looking at? I'm like, I'm looking outside to see when it gets light. He's like, it's dark. Like, again, he must have thought I was some interesting person staring at his kid. But I wasn't. I was waiting to see the first glimmer of any bit of light so I can start putting my towels into it. I thought he was a little bit nasty. And he wasn't so knowledgeable. He's like, it's not Shkia yet. I'm like, yes, you're right. It's not Shkia. I'm looking for, you know, I'm looking for Mishiach here or Nate's, and Alos. You know, that's what I'm looking for. I'm not looking for, I'm not looking for a Shkia, okay? But that's besides the point. And I thought it was a little bit nasty, but I didn't respond. I was like, I wasn't just like, what do you think? I was like, staring at your kid. I'm looking at the window. Like, do me a favor. I went in, and sure enough, I dive in, and meanwhile, his kid, I feel bad. I mean, his 10-year-old kid was like, Dad, I want soda. He's like, no, take water. I'm like, okay, this is not, like, I'm starving. And my kids get starving also, and they also complain for food. But he's like, I'm starving, I want food. He's like, I'll get you a sandwich. That's what they have. No! I'm like, whoa, this is like really, I felt really bad for the situation. Anyway, like, I just wanted to, you know, you want to make a kiddush Hashem. I sat there, and towards the end of the flight, I said to the kid, I said, you know, oh, you're visiting, you have a great time, you know, whatever. And I turned to the father, I said, you should have a lot of nachas from him. Like, not in a obnoxious way. Oh, like, you're sincere, I have a lot of nachas. Fine. Meanwhile, I'm talking to this woman. At the end of the flight, we're getting our bags, and down, and she's, and we had this conversation about Wittenstein, about Albuquerque. She's like, oh, where are you from? I said, I'm from Fairlawn. And the guy, the father, the kid says, I'm also from Fairlawn. I'm like, yeah. And he's from the other shul, whatever. Like, I knew who he was. He knew who I was. He's 3 years older than me. I know his sister. She was a year older than me. Like, we knew exactly who each other was. Like, what are the chances? Like, here he was. Again, I don't know. I think there is a little bit of a Mr. Haskell. I thought was a little bit not so nice to me, and it turned out he knew me. And again, he didn't say, oh, I'm so sorry, or whatever. It was just, and it happens to be, the guy sitting next to him was also from Frisch. Three people in the three streets were all from Frisch. Again, they were a little bit older than I was, but only a few years. But it was just, I think the Moshe Haskell is like, you never know. Don't, like, be not nice to a person. You don't know, because you know what? You may know who he is. That's certainly a lesson to be learned. And just to say over what I said last year, and I think it's another major lesson about learning from experiences and stories. Last year I heard this story and I read it a number of times afterwards. There's a guy in Kollel. He came one night to the night seder and he came up and he was in the Kollel, and the Rosh Kollel, who the person in the Beis Medrash was, the Gaon HaGadol Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach Zatzal. And this guy came to the Beis Medrash and he says, "I'm not sure if I benched." And Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach told him, "You don't need to bench." And the people in the Kollel said, "What? It's open and shut, Safek Daraisa Lachumra. If you don't bench, if you're not sure if you benched, push it, you bench." So everybody was perplexed, but they didn't want to go over and contest Rav Shlomo Zalman in front of him. So they went over to Rav Shlomo Zalman after a night later and said, "Rav Shlomo Zalman, how can you tell this guy he doesn't need to bench? If you have a suffix, you can bench tonight, you had a chayv to bench." So Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach said, "I have two facts about this young, about this guy. Number one, if he ate, he for sure benched. And if he benched, he'd remember that he benched. So what am I supposed to do? If he ate, he for sure benched. He would not get up from the table without benching. And if he benched, there's no way in the world he forgot that he benched. So how can he be not sure he benched? Anyone want to answer the riddle? He's not sure if he ate. The guy's not sure if he ate. Can you imagine? So if he's not sure if he ate, there's no way he didn't eat. Because if he ate, he would have benched. If he ate, he would have benched. And if he would have benched, he would have remembered. The only possibility is that he didn't eat. And sure enough, the guys from the call went home. They asked his wife, and she checked the room where he was supposed to eat, and the food was still there. So what can you say from that story? Rav Shlomo Zalman, he chacham adof minavi. How wise is Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach? And then you can go on your merry way and say, "Wow, Rav Shlomo Zalman is a genius. He's so smart." But what about the fact? Can we say the same thing about ourselves? Is it possible? Can we say we bench? We say Barnei Fashos. We say Asher Yotzer. We say Alamichia. We bench with so much kavana. There's no way in the world we'll ever be in doubt if we said it. In the morning, Birchas HaShachar, you thought on the way up, you said Birchas HaTorah, Birchas HaShachar. Can we honestly say that we're confident we always never have a situation where, "Oh, I'm not sure if I said it"? But if you had the proper kavanah like this person, it would never be a suffix. And the same thing. Can you imagine what it means to say, "If I ate, I for sure bench"? That means the guy sits and eats. He doesn't roam around, and then maybe I bench, I'm not even sure. No. He sits, and he doesn't cut up until he makes bracha. So I think that story highlights how you can react to a story. A person can walk away from that story and say, "Oh, wow, Shlomo Zalman Orbach, he's a chacham, he's a gadol. Wow, how did he figure that one out?" And mamish walk on and not take any lesson from that story. Or you can be like Avakoy Bardula, and you can be like chacham, lomim kol adam, and you can say, "Wow, I can learn from that story and improve myself." Like the people in the car show, they want to improve on their car. Rabbi Yisai, life is full of experiences. Every moment, every hour, there's so many experiences. The question is, if your focus is on your upward trajectory, if your focus is on growing, so then you'll take every experience and everything you learn and you'll use it and you'll help you grow. But if you're not interested in growing, you're not interested in learning from your experiences, so that's nice. You stay stagnant. And Kadosh Baruch Hu should give us the Yad Shemayah that, number one, we should recognize the experiences and learn from the experiences and allow them to to really teach us and help us grow in our Torah, Avodah, and our Yiras Shemayim. Have a great Shabbos.